Welcome to the Smarter, Wealthier Podcast, presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host, Spencer Dillinger, and co-host, Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
All right, today we are talking about how to deal with difficult people. And I think in every position I've ever held, there's always somebody that you're interacting with that you have those tough conversations, and it's difficult to find a solution, or you come away from the conversation feeling defeated or like you're struggling. I think everybody has that experience in some capacity, especially technicians in the field, and it's something that even today, something that I'm trying to work on in myself. So I want to talk about this with you, talk about how we can improve on this and the things that we've done that have worked, because there's not a specific set of things that you can do and just magically every conversation you have is going to go well. So what's the first, when I started talking at the beginning of this podcast and I said difficult people, somebody mind? Probably came to mind. I'm not going to ask you who came to mind.
It's probably the guy on the other side of this desk. No, I'm just kidding.
So, but somebody came to the mind for our listener as well. So hopefully by the end of this, we'll have discussed some tactics that will be helpful and beneficial to you in dealing with that person. I know one of the things that is currently helping me is, and I don't know if you started reading it, but we've been reading Crucial Conversations as a leadership team.
If I could get my stinking Audible to work, I've tried to buy it 4 times in the last month and it keeps declining me. So I've listened to Atomic Habits last week.
Bruh, you need some tea in your life. Tenaciously effective action.
Well, I stopped being tenacious and was just being effective, so I listened to a different book. But going back to the difficult people, of course, some people popped into mind. Some of them are people that I have known for a long time, and some people are customers that popped into my mind. I know me and you both have a customer that we've had to deal with over the last 5 years that we no longer work for. That was difficult. And there's days and times when you're on a job where, that we've had to deal with difficult situations.
Yeah,
that people were under some pressure, and so they became difficult.
Yeah, that's one of the things that really has stood out to me in listening to Crucial Conversations, the book, the audiobook, is, you know, it's not always that the other person is difficult, and that's one of the things I want to highlight as we have this conversation. But also, there are difficult situations in life that you're going to have to handle, and those conversations are going to be uncomfortable, but they can be safe. And that's kind of one of the things that that book really focuses on. And not safe in the sense of like, oh, I don't have any anxiety about this, but like safe, like you are able to be open and honest.
That's a big, right? Being open and honest. I mean, you've talked about this even recently. Like, that's a big deal. If you're feeling like you are open and honest with the other person and they're being open and honest with you, it's amazing at how fast conflict is handled.
Yeah.
And going back to just the difficult situations, there's been several times where you show up and a customer's just, they're pulling their hair out because of the difficult situation, and they're kind of taking it out on you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've always attempted to do in a situation like that is just make sure that they know that they're being heard and we're doing everything we can to take care of that situation in that specific realm. Getting loud back at them or being frustrated back at them is not going to help the situation out. It's just being like, it's almost like I think it's Dale Carnegie, just say yes, agree, or no, it's Grant Cardone that said, just say yes to everything.
Find something you can agree with.
Just what agree they said. With them and say, yes, I understand. Yep, you're correct. This is a bad situation. We're doing everything we can to handle it. And as long as you agree, if you agree with them, they almost will come down a few notches and then finally agree with you as well.
Yeah, it's really amazing that our first instinct is always to get to retaliate and defend. And you know, I definitely am guilty of that.
For sure, and, me too.
But that's the least helpful thing you can do. And you know, even knowing that doesn't make you perfect, doesn't make you not do it. You know, I've known that for years, and it still creeps up when you're dealing with situations that, you know, are touchy. You know, the ones that, you know, whenever you're talking about your time or your money or your relationships, or your, you know, something you take pride in, you know, those are automatically emotionally charged conversations. And I think that being able to agree is definitely one of the big things. But one of the things that I didn't know until this week that I realized my wife uses this and doesn't even know it on me is what they call, what did they call it? They don't call it, they call it don't, what I don't mean and what I do mean sentences. So like in a conversation, you're talking to somebody and the more important part of the sentence is what I don't mean. So it's like, I don't mean to attack you or say anything about the way that your performance has been. What I am trying to do is make sure that we are on the same page so that going forward we're, you know, able to discuss this in a meaningful way. And that was, you know, that was pretty rough off the top of my head, but
next week we'll just read out of the book.
Yeah. But as I've thought about it, I've noticed that is something that my wife does that definitely helps our difficult conversations go better. She'll be like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. Go ahead.
No, I was going to kind of say, I know in one of our interview questions, we always ask, who are some people that you have trouble getting along with? Or I think that's how it's worded. I was going to ask you that question, like, who are some people, not specifically, but like what types of people do you personally have trouble getting along with?
Okay. Yeah.
And then our follow-up question on the end of that is, how do you deal with them?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, this is a question where we've got this answer before in interviews, and I've always wondered if unprompted, like if I hadn't had any preparation and I had never thought about the question before, if I would have answered it this way, because I think in general, I think I don't have trouble getting along with people, you know? So, and, you know, we've got that answer before, but I think the idea behind that question is, who are the people that you have to work at getting along with, you know? And we all have those people. But I think today I would answer that question differently, and it would be, I think, people that don't have focus. You know what I'm saying? Like if they don't have a focus on a specific thing or specific area that they want to improve or specific goal in their life, sometimes I have difficulty, not so much getting along, but having a relationship with them, because small talk, you know, is
boring.
Yeah, it's boring. Yeah, it's you know, I can only talk about the weather so many times, and then it's like, okay, you know, there's only so many different types of weather.
If I'm ever having a conversation with you and I start looking at different things, it's because I'm no longer interested in what's going on here.
Yeah. But I think if people have an area of focus, even if it's not something that I am focused on, I think that I have an easier time building a relationship and getting along with them, because I can learn about what they're focused on, you know, what they're passionate about.
And you could, yeah, and I was going to say, sorry. You can tell exactly when someone is excited about something or they're focused on something, they're going to give you information about it, whether you want it or not. So you can learn about it, but they're going to be excited enough about it that you're excited to learn from them.
For sure.
I mean, I had a conversation with a guy last night. Me and you were talking about it earlier, and his brain's all over the place, but he's always like hyper-focused on something. Now, sometimes that new hyper-focus changes in about an hour, but like he will fully buy into a thing, and it's very exciting because he's giving you all the information that he can think of right then, and you're going to learn a lot of things, whether they're useful or not, in the subject that you originally started out. But that's interesting. Some of the people that I struggle getting wrong with are just erratic, and I think it's very similar to that. Like,
yeah, I was trying to figure out how to say that, because it's like, it's not just that they don't have focus, but it's that they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And they specifically can't let it go that you disagree with them.
Yeah.
That bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
can we agree to disagree?
Yeah, I'd rather be able to have two different opinions and just know that we're on two different pages instead of you trying to find new ways to tell me what you think to try to convince me to think the same way as you.
It's kind of funny because the pastor at our church has been kind of teaching a little bit about be careful who you you can't not like something about somebody and then your buddy, you can like it also and them. It's kind of not just not being truthful, really. Like, hey, Spencer, I'm going to let things go with you. But
yeah.
Bill next door does the same thing that Spencer does, and I'm cool with that. That's also that's kind of a interesting thing. And sometimes, a lot of the time that I get frustrated with people, it's because they're very similar to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, why am I letting you get away with, why am I getting mad at you if I'm going to let myself get away with some of that stuff? But going back to the thing that we both kind of agree on being erratic. How do you deal with that? You already know my favorite answer. Mm-hmm. I give them exposure therapy. No, erratic people, one of the things that you've been around me long enough, I've worked really hard to make sure that that erratic person is, or people are being heard.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back because even going back to when we said people were being difficult in the restaurant, when they're in a difficult situation, if you can find the thing that you do agree on, it usually calms the situation way down. And I try to be very consistent. I try to just never be up and never be down.
Yeah, that's something that I would say, like if somebody was asking about your work style, I would be like, Gabe is one of the few people that is consistently in the same mood. And I think that's pretty rare. I know I'm not like that.
I try to stay, like, you've caught me in a few times where, like, are you okay? Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, sorry. I try not to let anything come out because I don't want it to affect any decision or anything that I make. I don't want my emotions to affect logical decisions. And that really irritates me when emotions affect logical decisions. Yeah. If that's the way we operated just in my personal life, there would be a lot of things done very differently if we let emotions affect. And there has been emotional decisions made in my life that I'm like, man, I let my emotions win in that decision specifically. I wish I would not have done X thing. And that's really kind of when I see that happening. And most of our leaders, in our leadership group, we all are very, like, when it comes down to it, we're very passionate about what we're doing. We're very open and honest. And so it's the one good thing about being around people like that you can be open and honest. And we talked about that earlier, is you're going to be offended.
Yeah.
You 100% are going to hear something that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But you need to hear it, and you need to be like, okay, I'm going to go work on that thing.
That's one of the things, you know, going back to crucial conversations, that was one of the things that they, when they talk about safety, they highlighted that you're going to hear things that you don't like, but your reaction can be different based on whether or not you feel like the person has your best interests at heart. So, like, if you feel attacked, and that's going back to, like, when those you know, let me see if I can tie all three of the things that we've kind of mentioned together here in one thing.
It's been a little erratic.
Yeah, it's been a little erratic. But they all really do go together, and I'm going to try to pull it all together in one thing. We've talked about difficult situations make people difficult. We've talked about listening. We've talked about the explaining what you don't mean, and we've talked about safety. So the one example from the book that I think ties all that together is there's a couple, and one of them gets laid off from work, and one of them, their company downsizes and puts a lot more on their shoulders, so they're working a lot. So automatically you introduce stress into the situation because, you know, it's stressful to have to work a lot of hours without any extra incentive to do so. And it's stressful to not have a job. So both people are under stress. And when they go to talk about it, the immediate assumption is, you're attacking me when I'm already under pressure. You know, I'm already under all this pressure, and now you're coming here to tell me, you know, accuse me of not valuing our relationship, putting this first. And the safety part of it comes from that sentence of, what I don't want to do is make you feel worse about what we're already dealing with. What I do want to do is make sure that we're able to enjoy our relationship even through this stress. So that's a much better example than my earlier example. But that automatically creates that safety of, this person is being open and honest with me to try to benefit us both. And I think that's really important in our leadership. You know, I know I'm using a more personal relationship example, but I think that is where that safety comes from.
Well, that's real. As in, a technician in the field has to understand that, like, we always try to share with our team, like, there's no such thing as bad news, because you're here to solve. They already know there's bad news. Their thing is already not working. They don't need to know that it's not working still.
Yeah.
They just need to know that you have a solution. And once you have, like, once you're able to share that solution, what I need you to hear, what I don't want you to hear is that it's never going to work.
Yeah.
But what I want you to hear is, we have a solution until this is the end date, or this is the solution time.
Actually, that's true, because in the field, I actually do that. When I've done calls before, I will start off a conversation with the customer saying, look, I definitely can fix it. I don't want you to think that I can't do this, because there is a solution. But what I do want you to hear is, there's going to be multiple things involved. It's going to be complex, or it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to shut you down for this amount of time. Whatever the bad quote unquote bad news is, I'm going to first make sure that they know there is a solution coming. There is an end to this.
There's an end goal.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just, I hate getting that information from, or that kind of feedback from a customer, like, well, it's been down for this long. And I'm like, yeah, but we gave you the information out. And I don't like the yeah but thing. That's
yeah,
that's me saying, agreeing with you, and then telling you it's negative. But yeah, it's going, yes, and we explain how we're going to solve that issue, and here's the end date for what's coming down the road, and helping them to understand what is coming around the
bend. I don't think you really run into those situations if you set expectations appropriately. Like, give yourself some wiggle room. Like, if I know that there's potential for me to uncover additional things wrong with something that I'm working on, when I'm talking to a customer, I'm going to say, look, I know we need to do X, but in the process of doing X, we could discover something else that's going to add time to this, but we will be able to fix that. We will be able to get you running again. It just might take a couple of different things before we fully get it going. And that, like, I totally do a lot better saying that in real life, but I don't have any context.
It's funny, because, like, I remember when you first came to work here with us, you were like, man, you treat me a whole lot different as a customer than you do in real life. Because
I was a customer before I came to work here at Jags. And yeah, it was definitely interesting, because when you're a customer, you know, there's this higher level of camaraderie and checking in and how are you. And then when you are working here, it's like, it's an intense environment. It's not a, that caring doesn't go away, because I definitely always felt like people cared about me and making sure I was good, but there was this intensity of, hey, you have to get up to our level too. Like, let's get you up to speed as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I also was a difficult person at a little bit when I came in here, and I've worked really hard to make sure that, like, the main goal around here is how the people are being treated and how they're perceived, and making sure they're hearing what we do want them to hear and don't hear what they don't need to hear. I think that's the right way of saying that.
And also feel safe, you know, telling us what they really think.
That's one of the reasons I love our wealth planning sessions, is people feel very comfortable. We have them fill out what we should start, stop, and
keep doing.
And we get some good information on that. And sometimes it's a bit like, well, come on, guys. We have to. You want us to stop that, but you know we have to do that. And then there's some things on there that are like, that's very like insightful, that gives us a lot of information and allows us to make that change. Also, that's a person that I have a difficult getting along with. If you can't change once you find the correct answer and you know to do right, and you've been shown the right way a million times, that's very difficult to get along with.
Yeah.
Because now I'm out of ways to show you how to do it right, because I showed you the way to do it right.
Yeah, if you know which direction you're taking, you don't take it. That is challenging. You know, we run into that with customers, because sometimes customers, you tell them the solution and they don't want to do it. You know? And it's not always just because of cost, you know? Sometimes we see it a lot with refrigeration, you know? Oh, well, can't you just add some refrigerant? Or they don't even say it.
I know what's wrong with it. It ain't got no gas in it.
Add some Freon.
Needs a TXV and R22.
But it's like, well, the long-term solution is we gotta fix the leak. You know, we got to keep the refrigerant that we're adding inside the system. It's like, painting over a water leak in your house, you know, a pipe's leaking and it's leaking through the drywall and you just keep painting over it.
See, Spencer, you're getting off here. Phil Swift makes a good product that will cover up those holes. It's called Flex Seal.
Flex Seal.
Just paint the refrigerant pipe in Flex Seal. Please, nobody do that.
Don't try this.
Don't do that.
But I think, you know, this is all still on the topic of dealing with difficult people here, because we're talking about, you know, in these situations of, here's the solution and you don't like the solution. Well, how do you deal with that? You know, how do you deal with somebody that doesn't agree with or like the solution that is the best option?
Yeah, and
I know our guys deal with it. I know they deal with it in the field.
I mean, we heard about it last week. We gave some information out about a compressor and information, and there's a lot of things on that one. But, like, we give you the solution, and then you choose not to do it, and then you run into, oh, I need a refrigerated truck. I need this other situation going on. And we're like, man, we tried to get all this information to you, and maybe we failed at getting you all the information, but we have proof that we got you as much information as you needed.
Yeah. And I think the key is not to blame the customer in that situation, because that's definitely not going to help. I've had situations where I tried to do a preventative fix and ended up having to do a major repair because they opted out of the preventative fix. And as a technician, you know, your instinct is to be like, oh, I told you so. I told you you needed them. You know, I told you that. And it's like that makes you the difficult person.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be...
The I told you so person is never good. Try it on your wife and let me know how it goes.
So, but I do think that listening cures a lot of difficult people problems.
And that's, did you say listening?
Yeah, that's something you started with, and I really think we could have stopped there. Because listening, if you could take one thing away from this, you know, podcast, one, I'd recommend reading Crucial Conversations. I think that would be tremendously beneficial, even if you only use it in your personal life. But the second thing is, if you're dealing with somebody who's difficult, listening is going to help in multiple ways. You know, one, it's going to make them feel heard. Two, you might come to understand them and understand their perspective. You know, I've had many times where I thought somebody was... I remember feeling frustrated and thinking, this person's difficult. And then in the next, you know, hour or after the conversation, thinking, I still feel frustrated, but they're right. You know?
Well, so, you know how you've mentioned that to me before. Like, a lot of times I take 24 hours to process some things.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I think some people, like, I'm going to argue my point if I believe it. And I'm going to hear you, but sometimes it takes me 24 hours to register and put together all the pieces between what I was saying and what the other people were saying. And I know I get frustrated when people do that to me, so that's a difficult thing to me. So exposure therapy for myself. So yeah. That's one of those things that I kind of I get frustrated at. But as long as you can take it and take the information you've received and then go and be like, okay, I heard you. This is what I believe that you were trying to say to me, and this is how I'm going to move forward.
Yeah.
Like, you see that, okay, that you were definitely hurt on it.
Yeah. That's the other reason that listening is so important, because a lot of difficult people issues are communication issues. And, you know,
it's a big one.
That's not just the listening part. And I think we've talked about this and had to do this in our leadership group. And if you've never done this, so if you're listening to this and you've never tried this with anyone, I think it would be extremely beneficial for you to try it one time. I've had to do it with people. I know Gabe has done it with people. But where if they say something, before you respond, you have to repeat back to them what they said.
We went through this, I think, the four of us in our leadership last week. I kind of pulled out the... we kind of went through a, what would we call that? Just a brief,
like, exercise
on how it's done. And we used bad words, good words, and then how to be negative, how to be positive, and then how to be positive without being, like, ultra, yes, and.
Yeah.
But how you don't actually
be fake.
And if I'm not going to be fake, right, there's an example of me responding of what Spencer just said, of using the last little bit of words that you heard to make sure that the person you're talking to is being heard and that they know that the words are coming out correctly.
Yeah. And if you're able to take a step back before you respond and actually repeat back what they're saying, a lot of times when you do that, you're going to realize that you misunderstood what they said, or they're going to realize that the way they communicated it isn't communicating what they wanted to share. And they're going to be like, well, hold on, because that is what I said, but I didn't mean it the way it sounds. You know, they get a chance to hear it back. So that is an extremely useful tip. And all of these things, you know, this is just a conversation about difficult people. We're not experts at dealing with difficult people. These are things we still struggle with and work through today. So if you have thoughts on this, or you have, you know, this is how I was able to work through this difficult situation, please share that in the comments. We do look for those and look out for any feedback that we get. I know we've gotten some feedback from our techs. So specifically, if you're a tech in the field and you have a customer story where you dealt with a difficult situation and ended up with a great outcome, we would love to hear about it, because we're still learning too. You know, we're still learning how to deal with difficult people every week.
And if you're not learning, you're dead.
Yeah. If you think you figured out how to deal with all people's situations,
please leave a comment. We will have you on the show.
Yes, we will invite you in, and we might introduce you to some people in our lives.
We have some people we'd like you to meet. See how you handle them.
Yeah. Maybe you can teach us what we're doing wrong. But yeah, I think this is something that is an innately human problem. You know, we all deal with it. So,
oh man,
listening is going to help your communication, which is the number one thing that hurts it. Making sure that people feel safe, to that you have their best interests at heart when you're talking to them, explaining what you don't mean before you explain what you do mean. You know, these are the things that have worked for us, and you know, continue to be something that we need to be reminded of to practice.
Be consistent at everything you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're getting out of whack, that's going to mess up that errat. I don't know what the plural for that would be. Erraticity.
Erratic people.
Erratic people. If you're going to be erratic, it's very hard for people to be able to understand what's going on.
And I think in those situations, especially when, like, I'm thinking specifically in our leadership meetings when there's four people, when things start to feel like you're going in a circle and, you know, everybody's disagreeing, that's definitely the time to stop and be like, all right, explain what you heard him say, explain what you heard her say, whatever. Go through the example. Go through that exercise in that moment, because it's going to slow everything down. And slowing down the conversation to really figure out where the actual disagreements are is so beneficial. It is.
A lot of times when we've done that, we found out that, well, most of us were saying the exact same thing, and we were just arguing, but we all had the same point.
Yep. Yeah, that's another thing that they talk about in crucial conversations is a lot of times if you take away the tactic, a lot of times we argue about the tactics of how we accomplish a goal, but we really have the same goal in mind. And if you ask people what they want for the business, if you ask people what they want for the relationship, for the, you know, fill in the blank, a lot of times both sides will say the exact same thing. But they're arguing tactics, and so if you back the conversation out to, you know, what is our end goal, there might be a solution that meets the needs of both sides. You know, sometimes there's not, but they're definitely taking that wider lens view of the situation opens it up for more potential solutions.
In the conversation.
Yeah. I think the example in the book was about like somebody gets a promotion or offered a promotion, but they have to move. And so then there's this pressure in the relationship of, well, the family, the wife and the kids don't want to move. They have, you know, schools, they have, you know, all this stuff. But the person who's offered the promotion really wants to excel in their career. You know, at the end of the day, the family wants to be successful, wants to have see them start to build wealth. They want to have a good relationship and they want to be happy, right? So all of those things exist for all the people. It's just a matter of tactics. So, you know, if that person was able to find a job that offered all the benefits of the promotion in that city, that would solve both sides, right? And that's easier said than done, but you can kind of start to see how, you know, instead of it becoming, I really want this thing that's good for me and you really don't want me to have it, it becomes, we all want the same thing, but what's the most important thing to us? You know, what's the most important thing in that? You know, and that's...
Yeah. I mean, me and my wife talked about this just recently. We went through a move, and moving is stressful. It makes you frustrated. Yep. Why do I have so many things? That's one of the things.
You're like, but should I drive this U-Haul into the river?
I may have. No, there's something, like, I had to stop, and like me and my wife had to have a conversation about, like, the most important thing is our relationship, not boxes being moved from here to here.
Yep.
So if a box is going to cause that problem, or a piece of furniture being moved is going to cause that problem, then that piece of furniture disappears.
Yep.
And like our relationship has to be more important. And a lot of times it's very similar to what you were just saying. The relationship with people is more important than like fixing the thing sometimes. Yep. Making sure that you're communicating and talking to that person, because when the thing becomes more important, then the people feel that. Yeah. And it's kind of like it frustrates them, because no matter what business you're in, goods or services, you're in the business of people.
Well, it changes the whole argument if you don't do that. So like if you didn't stop and have that discussion, it becomes, in your mind, you're thinking, well, this thing is, you know, I have an opinion about this thing and it's important to me, and she doesn't value my opinion on this, or she doesn't see the logic behind this, and you start trying to prove that you're right. And then on her end of it, she's like, wow, he really thinks more about this couch than he thinks about a relationship. And you start to tell yourself those stories, when in reality, You're both just getting frustrated with the logistical issue at hand, and both of you have would prefer to be having a great relationship and a great time doing the move, you know?
No, I'll never move again.
But it could be better, right? It could be easier if you're on the same page. And it's much more difficult when there's something on the line, like in the example I gave with the promotion. It's like in the guy's head who got offered the promotion, he's thinking, my wife doesn't want me to be successful in my career, or she really doesn't want me to have this. Has she seen how hard I've worked for this? You know, you start thinking of yourself as a victim.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we all do it. Yep. You know, it sneaks up on you. You know, you don't, you tell yourself you don't think that way, but then it sneaks up on you. And she's thinking, really? He doesn't see how hard I've worked to establish our family and to get the kids in school and to get them this therapy or to get them this, you know, into this sports program or whatever it is, fill in the blank. She's thinking, really, his job's more important to him than this stuff in our family? And really, both people value their family and their relationship more than all of those things, but they're focusing on the tactical. And that's where, like, you have to mentally both be on the same page and stop and say, all right, let's take a step back. What's the most important thing?
I thought you were about to say mentally check out.
But no, I think, you know, I think the same thing could apply to politics to a large extent. And I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here, but if it's really interesting if you listen to people on both sides of the political spectrum talk about America, you'll hear things like, I want to see people be able to live the American dream and preserve our freedom. And you hear that things, those types of things from both sides, and if you are so ingrained in what is put out by the media and by individuals on social media, you will think, well, that can't be right. They can't be wanting the same thing as me, because they want this policy that's going to destroy America as we know it, you know? And that's how people think, and I'm sorry if you think that way and you're offended by this, but I'm actually not sorry. At the end of the day, a lot of times the goals are the same. And that's really interesting to me, is that a lot of the disagreements that we have about things, both politically and relationally, come down to we have different ideas about how to get to the same place.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool.
Yeah. I really think, you know, this is something we'll have to revisit. I hope we get some comments, some feedback on this, because I think, you know, there's never ending amount of stuff to learn about how
to deal with situations. If you don't leave a comment, you're a difficult person.
But we will learn how to deal with it.
By making you leave a comment.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. We really appreciate you listening. And if you have any feedback for us, you can either leave a comment or you can email us at info@jagsmechanical.com.
Or you're a difficult person.
So we will be back.
All right, guys. See you next time. See you.